Hey, so welcome to Family Camp. Huh? Amen. We're here. 2020. We made it to Family Camp against all odds. Right? Against shutdowns and cancellations and fear and. So 2 weeks ago, had no idea where we're going to meet for camp, right? Lord, where do you want us to go? So it's just been one of those years. It's called, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And so when you don't know what's going to happen, when you don't know what's going on, maybe God's calling you to walk by faith. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know what you're going to do and you don't know how to do it? How many have ever been in that situation before? Right? Been in that situation before. And so it's in those times when we don't know what we're doing and we don't know how we're going to get to where we think we should go and what that looks like, that's when God is calling us to walk by faith, which He's always calling us to walk by faith, not by sight, because that's how God operates. God operates in the realm of the unseen. God does not operate in the realm of the seen. He operates in the realm of the unseen. Now, He can see in the unseen. So it's kind of not, you know, it's not an equal playing field. He can see in the unseen. He can see in the dark. He knows the unknown, right? He not only knows the unknown, He ordains the unknown of us, for us. So He calls His children always to walk by faith, not by sight, because that's when He makes Himself known. That's when His glory is revealed. That's where His beauty shines forth. And so He's always calling us, always calling His people to walk by faith and not by sight, because that's when His power is unleashed. When we walk by sight, it's our power. When we walk by sight, when we can see what we're doing and what we're going, we don't need God. We got this. Right? It's if you have $500 in bills to pay and you have $3,000 in the bank, are you praying about that? Right? No big deal. I pay my bills. But what if you owe $3,000 and you have $500 in the bank? All of a sudden, what are you doing? God, help me. God, where are you? I need help. I need God. And so you think God in His grace and in His mercy, do you think sometimes He purposefully leads us into places where we need Him? Do you think God would do that? Why do you think God would do that? Yeah. Because He loves us. Because that's reality. Reality is we need Him. If you think about that, what can you do without God? How many here have tried living life without God? Just maybe you just had this idea that maybe I can live my life without God. How many have tried that? Rob Huddleston, how did that go when you tried to live life without God?
Oh, it goes great. It's just, wow.
I sense sarcasm.
Definitely. Yes, sir.
Beth Dales, how does that go when you try to live life without God? Crash. Who else? Darren, how's it go when you try to live life without God?
Crash and burn.
So when we think we got it, we lose it. When we think we got this down, right? That's when we lose it. But when we realize that without Him we can do nothing, that's when we can do all things. Interesting. How many have ever experienced God using them to do something that they could never do when they walked by faith? How many have walked by faith and seen God come through for them? Amen? Isn't that a lot better? What do you think? Isn't that a lot better that way? God gets the glory. God unleashes His power through us. And He gets all the praise. And we realize that the strength that we have really is from Him. And that we really can move mountains. That we really can take the unseen and make His will be known on earth as it is in heaven. That by His grace, through faith in Him, He can do amazing things. How many are here because they want God to do amazing things in their life? Huh? So if you're here and you're not here, if you don't think God will do amazing things in your life, what are you thinking tonight? That's half of you. Maybe you missed the question. How many here are thinking that God can do amazing things in your life? Let me see your hands. That's better. Missed the question. We're here because God can do amazing. How many God can do? That's possible. How about God will do? Huh? How about God will do amazing things with your life? Now, you're a Huddleston. That's a high honor just to have that name. I know, right? What does it mean to be a Huddleston, Rob?
I hope it means glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen. Glorify Jesus Christ and to be a little crazy. Your side of the family. Your side of the family, not hers. Hey, to be a young is to glorify God and to be crazy. I'll own it. Right? I'll own it. Right? I'll own that one. I have no problem with that one. We're here to do great things for God. Right? We are here to glorify God. We're here to do great things. Not just that God could do. Well, it is possible that God can do great things. Right? I believe it is theoretically possible for God to do great things. Because you know, Jesus did rise from the dead 2,000 years ago. What about today? I know he did great things 2,000 years ago, but what about in my life? Can God do great things in my life? Can God do great things in your life? Are you here coming with the spirit of expectancy that God can do great things in your life? That God can do his will in your life and then collectively in our life? Amen? I am here because I believe that God is doing great things. That's why he takes us through trials. That's why he takes us through difficulty. That's why he leads us through hardships. That's why we experience pain and rejection. Not because he doesn't like us, but because he's doing great things in our life and he has great things planned for us. What are those great things? To advance his kingdom. To do his will. That's the what is greater than doing God's will? Right? That's it. Do God's will. Glorify God. Obey his commandments. That's what we're talking about, great things. In the power of the Holy Spirit, to see his kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In Phoenix as it is in heaven. Or tonight in Tonto Christian Camp up here in Payson. Amen. That's what we're here for. And so what would keep us from that is not knowing God. So what keeps us from the fruitfulness of walking out God's will is when we don't know God. And when we don't know God, we will always walk with these, our eyes. We'll always lean on our own understanding. And we'll short circuit ourselves and try to get out of the pain and the pressure and the blessing because we're relying on our own understanding. That's called small thinking. Small thinking leads to small thinking, means playing it safe, and you end up not doing amazing things with God. So I want to ask you tonight, as we begin this amazing camp experience, that God has opened the door for us to be here. Would you begin and say, Lord, I want you to show me more of who you are. I want a greater filling of your spirit. I want a greater knowledge of you. Now, I know you, God, but I want to know you more. I want to know you for who you are. There's things in my life that cloud my vision. I cloud my vision with things that I don't understand, with things I don't believe. Even though I believe, I need to believe more. Amen? How many would say, I am willing to pray that tonight? I'm willing to pray that. Let me see your hand. We're at camp now. Keep your hands up. We're counting hands. It's back to old style now. We're going to... No, I'm just kidding. Rob, come up here and count the hands. Write the names down, right? Rob was Southern Baptist. We're in a... This is an old-time Baptist camp. As a joke. But no, we need to make an account, right? We need to make an account that I am here Not just by chance, not just a humdum, not just because, oh, I'm just, you know, going through the motions, I'm just going to go to camp and have a good time. No, I'm here to meet with God. And God is here to meet with you. And God is here to meet with you to reveal himself to you by his Spirit, through his word, in your heart, in your life, to give you a greater vision of God, a greater reality of who God is, a greater understanding of who God is, so that you can know Christ. And so that Christ's will can be done in you and through you, and his kingdom can advance in you and through you and in your family and in your neighborhood and in your workplace, that you may experience the height and the breadth and the depth, that you would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Let that begin with me. Let that begin with you. Will you pray that prayer? Will you say, Lord, I'm tired of living complacent. I'm tired of not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'm done with just making it. You know, we get the trial dumped on us. And God designs trials to be dumped on us, to be placed on us, to grow us and to refine us and to sanctify us, right? And to make us all that he's called us to be. But if we're not careful, those trials will just kind of defeat us and flatten us and discourage us and suck the life out of us. That's not God's will for you. That's not God's will in trials. That would be the other guy's will. Okay? Satan has a will for you too. And it's not all that glorious. It's to keep you in the mediocrity, to keep you hooked on dumb stuff. We'll call them idols. Okay? Keep you busy about nothing. I mean, I'm talking about your heart. Being entertained with nothing. Much to do about nothing. These are idols. What keeps us from knowing God and enjoying God is our sin and the idolatry of our own flesh. So as we come away here, as we have some time to fellowship and talk and pray, maybe there's some idols in your heart that the Lord's convicting you of. What is an idol? What's that, Phil? Something that distracts you from God. Distraction is the operative word. In America, Christianity has blessed American culture, and the big-time idols of our ancestors are thrown away. Now, they're bringing them back. Right? They're bringing them back pretty quick. But, as a culture, so what are the idols in our culture? Anything that distracts you from God. What could that be? Money. Entertainment. Amusement. You know what amusement means? What does it mean?
To not think.
That's right. To muse is to think. Amusement is to not think. So amusements keep us from thinking. What does God design us to think about? The glories of God. The beauties of heaven. Great theological truths. Who God is and what he means in his word and in history and what the Holy Spirit is teaching you in your heart. What you think about. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So amusements keep us from thinking God's thoughts after him. God wants to break every idol and kick it out of your heart and remove it and have you repent of that idolatry so that you can think his thoughts after him. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, follow me. And those disciples, they're falling all over each other. They're jockeying for position, right? And Jesus is constantly speaking the truth and love and the truth and love and the truth and love. Peter! What are you doing in the water? Here's truth. Get up, Peter. Follow me, right? In love, why do you doubt? I mean, think about that. Peter is falling in the water. How many people walk in water? Not many. He's falling in the water. And as Jesus speaks the truth in love, Peter, why do you doubt? Well, Lord, people don't usually walk on water. But when you follow Jesus, you walk on water. You can't walk on water. Yeah, and you can't do great things for God either with such small thinking. You can't walk on water either when your mind is full of amusements. But you can walk on water if you think God's thoughts after him. That's what God has called you to do. God has called you to do amazing things, to do great things, to love your enemies, to love one another, to love God, and to enjoy him forever. That begins right here tonight. What would be in your heart that could be taking you? What distraction could be taking you from that? We have money. How am I going to provide for things? How am I going to sustain myself, right? Well, who sustains us? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Who gives us our daily bread? Have you seen the ravens in the valley? Who feeds them? The birds of the air? Who feeds them? They don't toil or spin. Oh, you have little faith. Why does Jesus keep bringing it back to faith in Matthew chapter 6? Because faith is the foundation of God. We walk by faith. So he says, oh, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So if you seek all the other things that will be added unto you, your vision and heart will be clouded and you will be confused about your life. You will be confused about your purpose. Things won't be as clear for you because you're seeking the things that you think you need rather than seeking first the kingdom of God, having no other gods before you, having no other idols in your presence, but worshiping God through his word by his spirit in Christ. That's freedom. That's glorious. That's righteousness. Righteousness given in justification. Righteousness given through sanctification. It's all by faith. And it's all by grace. And it's all our opportunity to worship God. So mammonism, seeking the bread and not the God who gives the bread. If we seek him first, he is burden is light. And we work hard. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But we do it by faith. Our amusements are not amusements, but they are deep held convictions that come from God so that we can think about the things of God. That's what he's called us to do. What else? What else distracts us from knowing God? Money, amusement.
Talk about idols.
Yep, talk about idols.
Front seat.
What's that?
The front seat.
What's that?
The car. For children. I get this seat. No, I called it first. It becomes an idol. All of a sudden, I gotta have that seat. I am willing to punch you to get that front seat. It is so important. It is the giver of wisdom for me and the giver of joy. Oh, front seat, I love thee.
Getting to be first. Getting what I want. The selfishness. Yeah. Right. And we're used to being that way. I mean, we are born in sin. We're used to putting ourselves first. And when we put ourselves first, we lose it. But if we here can realize that if we would put God first, if we would pray and ask him to forgive us for wanting the front seat, for forgive us for wanting the preeminence, and realize that God, you are preeminent, you are creator, you are sustainer, in you I live and move and have my being. In you, all things consist. In you is life and breath. In you is liberty. In you is freedom. In you is righteousness. In you is holiness. God, I want to live in you. I want to live for you. Take my life. He'll free you to love others. Are there any takers? Are there any takers? Is God speaking to you? Today, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. Don't harden your heart. Putting him first, seeking him first, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, these are all byproducts, aren't they? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Idolatry is to flip that. It's to seek all these things. And yeah, I need God, but I need all these things. And the gravitational pull of your life is what you really believe. I'm seeking all these things. Lord, please direct me. Yeah, I need God to direct me. And all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. I want my paths directed. No. We reverse it. It's seek first the kingdom of God. It's have no other gods before me. It's in everything. Christ has the preeminence. His firstness, His greatness, His glory. When He's first, then guess what? The byproduct of our life is love, is the fruit. When we get the root, Him, He's the root, God produces the fruit. That's why Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're not in charge of producing the fruit. The fruit tree doesn't say, I got to produce fruit. I got to produce fruit. What's it do? I got to get the root. The roots are what are seeking. Those roots under the trees are looking for nutrients and water, right? The fruit just happens. The fruit tree doesn't worry. I don't think fruit trees worry about anything. But for if you look at a tree, that's what they're pushing down, right? They're pushing down. That's what we're to do. We're to push down in God, in the fertile soil of God, and knowing God in Psalm 1. Meditating on the Torah of Yahweh, the law of the Lord. He meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He thinks about the law of the Lord. He delights in it. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. But those who fear God, they delight in His commandments. They delight in His law. They delight in the gospel. They delight in God's grace. You know, if you believe the gospel, how many of your sins are forgiven? Unfathomable. Unfathomable. How many of your sins are forgiven? All of them. That's unfathomable grace. And sometimes we can just get used to grace. Like grace is, yeah, I have grace. I believe in grace. And we just become complacent in grace. Rather than saying, no, grace is unfathomable, this amazing debt that I owed. I owed God everything. I am in judgment and I deserve hell for my sin. But God has saved me by His grace. He's given me Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for my sins. All of them, I'm forgiven. And now that I'm forgiven, He's lifted that burden from me. All I have to do now is worship Him out of thankfulness for His grace, out of thankfulness for His mercy. You want to do great things for God? Remember the gospel. Remember God's grace. Put Him first. Have no other idols before you. Amen? How many here, we would say, you know what, I've never heard that before. This is the first time anyone's ever told this to me. Raise your hand. So that you've heard this before, right? You've heard this before, which is good. So the Christian life is not about learning something new in the sense that I've never heard this before. The Christian life is about asking God to reveal what you know in such a way in your heart that you can now believe it. You know what I'm saying? Asking God to reveal His truth in such a way that you would hear His voice afresh by His Spirit in your heart, and that He would open the eyes of your heart to behold these truths in such a way that you would understand and see these truths in relation to your life and in relation to where you live, and that God would open up your understanding to show you more of who He is, and show you more of who you are, and show you more of His great and glorious will for your life, so that you can be His child, and that you can do great things for God, so that you can do amazing things, so that you can walk on the water of the trials that He has for you, so that you can go through this life and call God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that you don't have to keep stumbling in the dark. So that you don't have to keep stumbling over the same sins in your life. You know the foundational truths, but it's not just enough to know them. You have to believe them. And that's something that God shines His light of the gospel in your heart and reveals these things. He illumines these things to you. It's like if we go out and take a walk here tonight, it's dark out. Trying to find your cabin in the dark, you would be stumbling. And even though you would know where you were, you know where your cabin is, you've been there, you know the direction you have to take, you can see with your eyes, you would still stumble because it's dark. That's exactly what the Christian life is like without the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit that you are in tune with in your life. That He's illuminating the path for you and taking the truths that you know and showing you the way that you should go. That comes by prayer. That comes by faith and humility. That's what I'm asking you to do tonight. I'm actually asking you to pray that God would open your eyes to see Him and that He would illumine, that He would show forth His will, shine forth His light in your heart, in your mind, so that you can see Him afresh. It's like taking a flashlight and turning on the flashlight and saying, oh, that's the way I could go. And He illumines it. He shows you. I take a step and I walk in the Spirit step by step. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and what? You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Catch me. Hold me. I can't do it on my own. I need your grace. I have no my sufficiency is not in ourselves. Every step I walk in the Spirit, which means I need God. I need God to show me. I need God to direct me. I need His Word to fill my mind. I need to be asking God to remove the scales of my eyes so the idols of my heart can be rejected, so I can believe the truth and walk in the truth and the light of His truth, so I can be filled with the Spirit. And as I focus on who God is, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the personal God that we can actually have a personal relationship with, that we can know Him, and He knows us, that as we walk in His Spirit, every step is directed by God. And that He would make our spirit sensitive so that as we step off course, whoops, He would correct us and we could keep the path. We could be illumined by His light. We could show forth His mercy and His grace. That's what I'm talking about. That's what God is continually revealing in my heart. You know, I've learned the foundations of the Christian life many years ago, but I am learning of Christ every day. Every day I'm learning Him. And every day I confess, Lord, I need to know You more. I can't see. God, help me to see. Because I can get complacent. Well, I've heard that before. I know that. Nothing new. And when I'm in that kind of mind, I'm worthless to God. I'm not learning. I'm not growing. I'm not in a spirit of dependency. I'm not in a spirit of expectancy. I'm just looking at my eyes thinking, yeah, I got this. I got this. I got $3,000 in the bank. And I have a bill of $500. How hard is that to pay? I'm not looking at the reality. I'm not looking at the realities. No. The work. Go in all the world. Make disciples. I can't do this. I need You, God. I need Your help. I need You to illumine my life, to open the eyes of my heart so that I can see. I need You to show me every day, every second of the day. That's a totally different paradigm shift when we see how much we need God. But that's what it means to follow Christ. That's what it means to be followers of Christ that are hotly pursuing Him with our whole hearts. So let me ask you, are you willing to pray that? How many are picking up what I'm putting down? You have any questions? This is just my introduction. Any questions on that? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would search our hearts. We ask You, Lord, that You would reveal our hearts, that You would open the eyes of our hearts, that You would see good things from Your law. Father, we pray that You give us an increasing hunger, a knowledge, a desire for Your will. Father, we ask You, Lord, to reveal Yourself to us this weekend, right now, tonight, that You would do a work, Father. I pray for everyone here that You would call us, Lord, into a deeper fellowship with You, into a deeper fellowship one with another. Lord, we need You. We can do nothing without You, God. We need You so badly. help us to see. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, forgive us our sins. Lord, forgive me my pride. Forgive me for thinking that I can do this on my own. I can do nothing without you. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our pride. Please, God, have mercy on us. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. And by your grace, Lord, show us that we can do all things. Show us, Father, to be expectant for you to do above and beyond all that we ask or think or even imagine. Lord, I pray that you would have your will in your way. I pray, Lord, if there is whatever for each individual, what they need, Father, I pray you'd fill their needs. Whatever their heart motivation is, Lord, may you get to the bottom of that heart motivation and may you be there. May you be there at that bottom of that heart motivation, whether it's a motivation to conceal sin or to confess sin. May it be of Christ. If there are sins that are being hidden, Lord, I pray that they would be exposed in Jesus' name. Lord, if there are weaknesses, Lord, if there are fears that are being driven, fears that drive people away from you, I ask, God, that they would be exposed. That they would be exposed first even to our own self. That you'd give us the knowledge of our own sin so that we could see you. And that in seeing you, we would know your kindness and your love and your mercy and your goodness, Lord. That we would not blaspheme against your goodness, but your goodness would lead us to repentance. Please, God, we need you. We need you. Help us, Lord. Help us to call upon you, Lord. Forgive us for being complacent. Forgive me, Lord. Have nothing to do with the spirit of complacency. We need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, please have your will and your way. We cry out to you, Jesus, help us. Help us, we pray.